First, I guess just to dive in on the conversation we're just having here for a second with, you look at, it's the Hawks that the Canucks played tonight in Chicago, and you look at the financial struggles that the Hawks are in now, where they've got a lot of money spent on, you know, aging veterans who certainly helped them win a multiple Stanley Cups, similar to the Kings. The way that the cap is now, or the way we see contracts being distributed, younger guys getting paid, is this going to start changing the conversation to where teams are going to be less reluctant to lock up veteran players long term and see situations like the Kings and the Hawks are in going forward?
Well, I mean, the killer in the cap system is term. It's not the cash. And I think what happened in LA and Chicago is they rewarded their star players for success. And what's amazing is the number of teams that are in cap trouble that have never had any success. At least, you know, they set out Brett Seabrook. He goes to buy gas. When he pays, he's got three rings on. You know, and these guys in LA have two rings. So what they did is they said, okay, we won. Our window is still open. We're going to keep the group together, and gave out 7 and 8 year deals. And I think the change is going to come, and it might be as early as this spring with Alex Pietrangelo. We were talking about it last night on TV. Like, he's looking for a long term deal. He's got a ring, and they're saying we're not so sure we're going to like the last few years of that deal. I said at the trade deadline last year, the best acquisition of the trade deadline was Mark Stone. The worst acquisition of the trade deadline was Mark Stone, because I don't think he's got 8 years left of good hockey in him. So the term is the killer. That's what absolutely kills you in these contracts. So I think you are going to see a shift in attitude starting as early as this season about saying, okay, yes, you won us a cup, but we're going to peg the term to what we think your useful life is, not to some reward for winning a cup. Your reward is the bonus you get and the ring.
Refresh my memory and our listeners. Did anybody get a new deal off your 2007 Stanley Cup championship team, kind of because they were in that situation? You thought, hey, he's part of this for a while, and we won it, and he was part of the success, or no?
Oh, you're talking a ways back. I'm sure I did. Before I throw rocks at the GMs that did that, I'm sure I did, but I don't recall it. I mean, you remember right after the season, Scott Niedermayer and Teemu Selanne both retired. And we had a scramble to fill, and then when they both came back, we were screwed. So I don't think we were a typical team. The reason that team didn't repeat is because of these unique circumstances. I think that team could have won three cups, but I don't think so.
But it will be a very tough situation for someone to walk away. You know, we were talking about how people were up in arms here in Vancouver 6 weeks ago when Sven Berchi sent down to the minors. Can you imagine a big part of a Stanley Cup championship team, and Pietrangelo is the perfect case, and a GM walking away from him? Because aren't you a GM, Brian Sorey? Aren't you a GM for the here and now? Are you thinking as a GM what's it going to be like in 5 years? Because you don't have a long shelf life in that position.
Well, which question do you want me to answer?
I don't know. I've got a bunch of them today. I'm not working tomorrow, so I'm trying to get them all in.
All right. So let's start on the second one. I had a GM who signed an 8-year deal. I called him up and I said, that guy doesn't have 8 years left. He said, do you think I'm going to be the GM here in 8 years? He said, what was the longest you lasted? And I said, 6 years in Vancouver. He said, all right, get off my back. I think there is some mentality that, A, we're going to reward these guys. And if it ends up being a bad deal, then that's their pension. That's their payoff because they did a great job for us. And second is, it ain't going to be my problem. And pardon my poor grammar, but when I'm talking about this, it's how GMs talk to me. He said, you think that's going to be my problem? It ain't going to be my problem. It's going to be somebody else's problem, and I could care less. So I think the shift is going to come. And people are outraged about Sven Berchi, but Vancouver's such a beautiful place to work because there's such a schizo media following. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there are people that love their team, and there's a fringe that attacks everything they do. The same guys that howled when they send Berchi down. If he plays a poor game tonight, they're going to howl. Why'd you recall him? It's a weird place to figure. Wonderful place, but a weird place to figure. I think you're going to see a shift because if I'm a season ticket holder, I wanted Brent Seabrook to get that deal. I wanted him to be thanked. I wanted Duncan Keith to get locked up. I wanted Taze and Kane to be locked up. I wanted all that looked after because I watched three parades. now on the season ticket, I'm like, well, does he need 8 years to say thank you? Can't you say thank you for 4 years times seven? So I think the fans, certainly the team's thinking will shift, and I think fans' thinking often shifts quicker than the team's thinking do. Fans are smart. And one thing, you can't lie to fans. You can't tell them any BS, not in Canada anyway. Like in this marketplace right now, the people are listening. If I told an out-and-out fabrication, the switchboard would light up. These people are too sophisticated. So I think fans are figuring out too, say, okay, well, if we win a cup, yes, they thank you, the guys, but do it with 4-year deals, not 8-year deals. So it's a term that kills you. And I feel Brent Seabrook is a great hockey player. And he's battling it right now, and the game's too fast for him right now. But I still think this guy can contribute, and he's a quality person, and he's got 3 rings. Jesus Christ Almighty. So you're going to see a shift in thinking, my prediction.
Brian Burke here on Sportsnet 650, talking all things salary caps going forward. It's the Canucks and the Hawks later on. Another conversation that has really garnered a lot of traction over the last 24 hours, and it's funny because we talked so much about it last year up on this side of the border, but suddenly south of the border, load management has found the sight lines for a lot of NBA observers, where Kawhi Leonard sat out of a high-profile, nationally televised game last night on ESPN. You know, it worked for the Raptors. And, you know, Kawhi sat out 22 games last year for the Raptors during the regular season. That word or that phrase, load management, seems to be a very real thing now in the NBA. Do you see that becoming a thing for the National Hockey League?
Well, I certainly hope not. I mean, I was here and watched firsthand how it worked for the Raptors, but I don't understand the concept. Like, we give players days off from practice. And down the stretch, a team that's locked up a playoff spot has been known to rest a guy. And the odd maintenance day where a guy is just not 100%. He could play. If it were the playoffs, he would play. But you're playing a team you think you can beat, and you say, all right, take a maintenance day. But we don't call it that. We say he's got to tweak the groin. We've been honest about this as a sport. Our sport has been honest about this. We dress our best lineups. Guys play hurt. Our players are wonderful. We're so blessed. I worry about, it's not just a nationally televised game where a star player sits out, but how about the people who bought tickets to that game? I know here in Toronto, people are outraged about it. And it's all been glossed over because of the championship, but the fact is people are outraged about it. Those are not cheap tickets. So to me, I hope we continue our practice, and I think Gary Bettman's going to make sure teams do, which is, players do need days off during the season, and older players need more days off during the season, and fragile players need even more days off during the season. But a practice day, in many ways, it's not as grueling as a game day because you got the preparation and the skate and the nap. But some days, practice days are harder on a guy's body than a game day. So to me, let's keep giving the days off, the maintenance days, the days off. Let's do that on practice days and make sure we dress our best lineups.
It's Brian Burke joining us, as he does every Thursday morning on the starting lineup, Perry and James. You're mentioning injuries. I'd like your opinion on this. As the major sports get cozier and cozier with Las Vegas and betting, do you think the day will come for the NHL where the answer of upper or lower body injuries won't be enough?
Well, to me, the notion that we don't disclose injuries has not changed now that I'm on the media side. I don't feel the Canucks owe me an answer on what specific the injury is specifically. I do believe there's targeting. I do believe players, if they know that Sven Berchi, since we used his name earlier, if he's got a shoulder injury and I get a chance to hit him, I'm going to hit him. And I'm going to look harder to get him. Not cheap shots, nothing dirty. But I know this guy's got a weakness. I'm going to exploit it if I can. And I've heard players say, no one would ever do that. That's garbage. I mean, I played, I know darn well we would talk about that before games. Nothing dirty, nothing illegal, but just say, hey, you know, Berchi's got a bad wing. If anyone gets near him, make sure you bump him hard. So nothing vicious, nothing illegal, nothing conspiratorial, just common sense. This guy's got a weakness. If you get a chance to exploit it, do it. So I don't care that teams don't disclose injuries. I really don't. And we're a full contact sport. What they do in baseball and basketball, I don't care. Those aren't full contact sports. And I don't care about betting. Like the whole betting thing, I'm with Gary Bettman on this. I wish we never got involved with betting. We're going to regret this someday. But if everyone in the world is making money off it, then I want the NHL to get its share too. So it's a process that the league fought for years, fought the good fight, lost. But it's like, okay, if legalized sports betting is taking place, you're darn right I want the teams to get paid. Because that goes to HRR and that helps the players. So, and the fact that they don't have 100% information on injuries, screw them.
Brian Burke here on Sportsnet 650. Don't sit on the fence, really. Yeah, I'm kidding here. I don't know how much you watched the Blues and the Canucks two nights ago, but you know the pushback. I mean, that's a big, heavy, physical team. The Blues are the defending Stanley Cup champions. Vancouver was kind of right there with them all the way through until that 3-0 overtime goal. But you know, are the Canucks tough enough?
We're going to talk Canucks now. What are we, 12 minutes in?
Yeah, exactly.
You are multifaceted, though. We can talk anything with you.
Well, we talked the Hawks. We talked the Canucks opponents tonight. So, you know, we figured we'd warm you up first before we dove in with the Canucks. But are the Canucks tough enough in your mind?
For what?
They're not there yet anyway, but just in terms of the way they handled themselves against a team like St. Louis.
They were fine the other night. What they have toughness, and they have to, two things have to happen for me. Jake Virtanen has to realize in a game like that, Ferland's hurt. Jake Virtanen has to realize in a game like that, he's got to up his black and blue. He's got to play more physical in games like that, and so does JT Miller, even though he's turned into a really valuable top four forward. In a game like that, he's got to get heavier because he can do it. He's a heavy man, and he can do it. He's hostile on us. It's not a problem for him. I think Jake has to read that game better and say, tonight, I don't care what else is on the score sheet at the end of the game, but I need six big hits. So I think they've got the lineup and the physical size. Do they have the proper outlook and truculence and obnoxiousness? Not yet. But I thought they played great, and the blowout was unfortunate. But I thought they were going to muff that 3-0. When the puck started rolling, I thought they were going to blow it. I really did.
18,000 people were probably hoping the same thing.
Everybody's in love with this team. Everybody's in love with Sutter right now. They're loving what Tim Schaller has done. If you're Jim Benning, you know you've got Roussel coming. Ferland's out right now. You got too many bodies. Is it crazy to think this is the time for him to make a move?
What move do you think he should make?
I don't know, but he's got, like, what's he going to do? Roussel's back and Ferland's back. He's got too many bodies here. Like, you know, we talked all summer. He's going to have to move someone at some point.
Yeah, and that's the exact same conversation they're having here in Toronto. Zach Hyman's coming back. Not only do they have to make a spot for him, they might have to move two people so the cap works.
But easier, Brian, in Toronto when they're not, you know, it's not all, you know, we're planning parade routes here. You go, how could you change this roster now?
My point is that they're going to have to create a space for him. Roussel's a better player than Schaller. Schaller's playing great right now, but they're going to have to. Injured players should never lose their job. You should never lose your job because you're injured. That's been a principle in our game for decades, for centuries. You don't lose your job when you get hurt. When you get healthy, you come back. Because if you lose your job when you get hurt, guess what? I'm not going to play so hard because I might get hurt. I might lose my job. So they got to find room for an injured player coming back. And if they have to do it, my point to you is, who are they going to trade and where? Who's got cap room? Who wants these players? You can count the trades that have happened so far this year on one hand. It's hard to make trades in a salary cap system. There are eight teams in the National Hockey League last week, I didn't look today, that cannot recall a player who's making the league minimum salary. They're so close to the cap, they cannot recall a player making the league minimum salary. You will see teams play short in the next couple of weeks. Play with 17-2 instead of 18-2. Because of the salary cap. So where the hell are they going to move, guys?
You've got the Devils that are in here coming up on Sunday. They sit last right now in the Metropolitan. What would you do if you're running the Devils? How would you handle the Taylor Hall situation?
Well, I think with Taylor Hall, I think he's got to make a decision. I mean, the first things first, you got to sit down with the player and say, do you want to stay? And I'm told he does. But obviously, I'd love to stay. What are we talking about for coin? And so, same thing. He's young enough, an 8-year deal wouldn't be ridiculous because he's a young man still in his prime. Then what's the cash? And that's going to dictate, I think the very first meeting is going to dictate whether there's a possibility of a deal or not. The player's going to say, I want this, and the team's going to already have a number in mind. And if it's an astronomical number, then this guy's going on the block. He had a great year last year. This year has been tougher for him. Nothing they've done has worked, but I think it will work. I believe in Hughes. I think their goaltending's been atrocious, and that's really cost them. But I like this coach. I like this team a lot better than they're playing. And I think if they can just be patient, they'll figure it out. But it's not a patient business, so we'll see. But I think that, to answer your question, there's a process here that has to be followed with every UFA. Number one is, do you want to stay here? Because if you don't want to stay here, money's not going to change that. And then they got to get him on the market. You got to maximize the value on this player. And I think that comes closer to the deadline than now, where a team can handle the money easier close to the deadline. I don't think they trade him out.
Interesting times. You're right, with a lot of teams getting some people back and not a lot of wiggle room to do, but so far everything good. As always, we appreciate your time on the Thursday morning.
You're fired up this morning, man.
Oh, you interrupted me 3 times. God.
You already used that word once, and you used his son's name, too.
Yeah, well, Jesus, I can get away with. I don't think the other one flies with my bosses. So.
Brian, I believe it's pronounced Jesus.
Yeah, well, I'll say it my way. Don't interrupt me again.
Great second baseman. Thank you.
Sportsnet 650.